Amen. That's it. So, Isaiah 9:6, right? Isaiah 9:6, we were there last week. If you don't know, now you're going to know. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us, me and you, that's us, a son is given. God gave us a baby, and the government, not like the United States government necessarily, but like the rule, I mean, I guess the authority, the boss, because he is the boss, the authority, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor. There's Jesus, by the way. There's Jesus. The Mighty God, because that's just not something you call somebody down the street. That's like a Jesus word, right? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. See, that's just, you know, you may have a father, but is he everlasting? No. No, that's Jesus. The Prince of Peace. We know that one, because that's like, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's in the Bible, like there, and that's it, man. This is kind of cool because this was written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, and here it is describing him to the T, and that's kind of amazing. That's a little thing we like to call prophecy, where God just knew it was coming, and he was like, hey, I'm gonna surprise you guys. I'm gonna put this in the Old Testament hundreds of years, and then Jesus would be born, and you'd be like, oh my gosh, I did not even know it was there, and then you're amazed. Now, this is interesting, though, because, like, here we are at Christmas, right? Talk about this little baby, Jesus being born, like, remember the nativity set, all that kind of stuff, these, that little one are there in the manger. The interesting part is this, is people are still confused as to who this baby is. Like, they know, but they don't know. You know, a lot of people know Jesus, Christmas, and Easter Jesus, right? Christmas and Easter Jesus, baby Jesus, little baby Jesus, then a little baby Jesus, and then they know Jesus on the cross Jesus. You know, like the crucifix Jesus that's on, like in your grandma's house, the crucifix Jesus, but they don't know Jesus outside of that, and that's pretty darn important. Like, that's really, really important because Jesus is more than little baby Jesus, and Jesus is more than crucifix Jesus, like the beat up, bloody Jesus. Because both of those Jesuses, they don't appear very strong. They don't appear very appealing, right? Like the last thing you want is a little baby. Right, that's the last thing most of us in this room want is a little baby. They're cute, but then they do little baby things, and you're like, "Thank you, no, thank you." Right, and then you see beat up Jesus on the cross, and it's like, if you don't know a lot about Jesus, then it's like, "Dang, I don't want to be that dude," right? Because he's dying and bloody and beat up on a cross. But you see, this child that was given us, this God, that Wonderful Counselor, you know, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, this guy is the one that we need to talk about today. Because Christmas is so much more than just a little porcelain baby or like this clay or wooden crucifix. He's so much more than that. He's so much more appealing, so much more desirous, so much more like, wow. And God wants us to know that. That's why he gave us this big old book to read and understand. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to make these words become fire inside of us. See, God, ultimately, Jesus is this reward that we get to have. He's this gift that we get to be a part of. And it's funny, there's this verse in Genesis 15:1 and it, where God talks to this dude named Abraham. And he's like, Abraham, look, I am your exceedingly great reward. I love how the New King James says, I'm your exceedingly great reward. Go ahead and put it up there. He said, I am your exceedingly great reward. God, Jesus is not just the one who gives us stuff. Jesus and God, he's just not the one that answers your prayers at night. Like you know, you rub your Bible three times and poof, your dreams come true. That's not the way it works. Because God's job is not to give us the stuff we want. Like, he's not Santa Claus. That's not the way it works. You know, where he knows when you've been naughty and nice, and he's got like this list of people that make it or don't make it. God's so much better than that. You see, he is the reward. See, God's whole goal of being born and dying, little baby Jesus, crucifix Jesus, the whole picture of that, of those two things, is the in-between and the after. And the in-between and the after is God becoming our reward. See, little baby Jesus and crucifix Jesus happened so that God could be with you and never leave you. His goal was not to do that so you could answer prayer, get prayers answered. And it wasn't to do that so you can come into a building and sing a song. But it was so that every step you take, every move you make, every breath you take, he will be there alongside you, taking you through the hard times. So you can hear his voice when you need to make the difficult decisions in life. And so when everything goes wrong in life, all my people in this room have put the hand up when they said, I'm having a hard week. If that was you, because if it's not you this week, it could be you next week, okay? Because I don't know how you're doing with your finals, but I'm praying for all you. Hey, I'll pray for your finals that have happened and are happening if you pray for my finals. Because I'm in school again. My finals are this Monday, Tuesday, so pray for me. I got a lot of typing to do. It's in those times that's where God wants to be, to where you could look at your life and you can begin to recognize that if things aren't going right, that's okay, because you don't need things to go right for your life to be good. You don't need things in your life to go right so life can be good. You don't need things to be right in your life for your life to be good. You see, that's why he's the Prince of Peace. Is if your family is right now is falling apart, that's okay. Life can still be good. Or if things are challenging because of some relationships in your life, or because you're uncomfortable about some things, or you have questions about you that you just don't know how to answer, that's okay. Because you can still be in a difficult place, but have life be good, because you don't, the only answer prayer you need is the prayer that you say, God be with me, and he will. He'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the way it works, see? You wake up and all of a sudden maybe family's arguing, and that's okay. That's okay. It's not good. It's not comfortable. It's not what you want, but it's okay, because you may not have a peaceful family right now, but you still got Jesus, right? Maybe you're in this place and you bombed your math final because math is the dumbest thing in the world. But that's okay if you didn't do good on your math final, because you still got Jesus, right? Maybe you had a boyfriend last week and you don't got a boyfriend this week. That's okay, because you may not have a boyfriend, but you still got Jesus, right? Right? You're okay because you got the one that's going to make your heart really feel okay. Maybe you looked in the mirror and said, oh man, I'm ugly. And that's okay, because you may be ugly, but you still got Jesus, okay? I have to tell myself every time in the morning, that's why I brother grow a beard, because I got to hide the ugly, okay? That's why I had to, because I just got to hide people. That's what it is. If I could grow my eyebrows out, I would too. But unfortunately, the Lord has not done that yet. See, it's okay. It's okay if you go to school and maybe you don't have the clout or the popularity, or you don't have the circle of friends that you really desire. That's okay, because if you've got Jesus in your life, you got everything you need, because he is your reward. And sometimes I think in our lives is we're missing things because we're looking for the wrong things in the wrong places. So you chase happiness, you never find it. You'll never find happiness. I don't believe everything Will Smith says, okay? The pursuit of happiness is not the goal. The pursuit of Jesus is the goal. Because I find that when you get Jesus, the happiness begins to come. You see what I'm saying? It's true. If you're chasing girls, gentlemen, trust me. If you're chasing girls, there'll never be enough girls to satisfy. But when you begin to chase Jesus, I tell you, look at it. 100 girls will never satisfy. But when you get Jesus, you find you only need one. I'm just saying. It's quality, not quantity. That's a level below. See, look at it. We can shut down church right now. Okay, all here we go. All the dudes go home now. Now, stop trying to satisfy your life with quantity, whether it's quantity of money, quantity of friends, quantity of likes, quantity of grades, quantity of relationships. It's the quality. You find the reward, the real reward, and everything else begins to kind of fall into place. Genesis 15:1, God told Abraham, Abraham, you don't want the answers to your prayers. You want the one that answers the prayers. Then you get what you want. And see, when you begin to chase after Jesus and everything you do, you get that real reward. Then you find out that God begins to lead you on an adventure. That's kind of the fun thing about when you begin to chase God, is you never really fully get him, right? Like, there's so much of him, and God is so much faster than you. That when you begin to chase after the things of God, you find yourself getting lost on this adventure of life. You see, people think a lot of times fame or the right job or the college education or all these things that we've been talking about just for the past couple minutes are the way to go. But the truth of the matter is, real adventure in life is only found when you begin to chase God wherever he leads you through the wilds of this world. Because God knows how to get through the forest without getting lost. And my life did not get exciting until I began to chase after God. God has taken me around the world to other countries. God has taken me into crazy parts of my city. God has taken me into wild depths of relationships, of friendships, and even with my wife. I mean, I married the girl of my dreams because God brought me to her. I didn't have to like look for her. God, been me chasing after God. I just so happened to bump into her because we happened to be chasing after God at the same speed. I mean, that's the way it works. Like, I see Sal and Jess looking back there at each other, and I know exactly what they're thinking. And April, how'd you find her? Yeah, right. These are cuties right there. They're even standing next to each other. Oh my gosh, their shoulders are almost touching. Oh my gosh, it's so cute. God leads you on this wild adventure. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 23 to 28. I want to read them all to you, but I got to keep on talking. And you can read it for yourself at home. But basically, it's this laundry list of difficult things this guy Paul went through. And he's just basically recounting all these scars on his body. He's basically recounting all these bad days he had where he got beat up. These bad days where he got stuck on a ship. I mean, this guy survived shipwreck, after riot, after riot. I mean, you think... He's like a professional protester or something like that. All the fights this guy's got in. And basically, his life chasing Jesus was the most exciting thing God ever did in his life. Because God took him from faith journey to faith journey to faith journey to faith journey. My friends, if you find that your walk with God, your being a Christian is boring, you're doing it wrong. This is what I found. Being a father, buying toys for his children, and being a person that generally likes to receive gifts, that a toy that's left in the box is always boring. No matter how much you spend it, no matter how wonderful it is, a toy that's left in the box is always boring. For my gentlemen and ladies that are gamers, a video game that's always left in its case, well, it never gets played. Right? Like that game ain't gonna play itself. You gotta take it out the case. Right? And sometimes we forget to apply the same principle to our faith. You see, a God left in the box, no matter how wonderful the God is boring. Because we leave him in church. Or a God that's left in between these two pieces of leather makes no sense because you've never opened it up and done anything with it. You see, if you find yourself thinking, gosh, I can't go to church again, or this is so boring, or is God real? Well, that's because you've left him in the box. You haven't taken him out into your world and your life and begin to apply it. I mean, living a life for God should be white knuckle scary. If you're actually listening to the things he tells you how to do. The problem is me included, have just never really applied him to these. If you're looking for excitement, then that's exactly where you find it, is living a life with God. I just don't find anybody in the Bible that's living for God, sitting on their butt at home doing nothing. And we've just gotten accustomed to coming into a room and sitting on our butts, and we call that being a Christian. Like, that's not how it works. You see, God is our reward, and when we begin to chase after that reward, we find that he puts this cause, this dream, this reason for being alive inside of us. John 18, go ahead and put it up there, John 18, 36. Here's Jesus, right? In John 18, 36, Jesus is standing in front of this guy named Pilate. He's like a governor. He doesn't fly airplanes. He's not that kind of pilot. Jesus is talking with him, and he's getting ready to, like, be sentenced to death and all this jazz. And he says, my kingdom, it's not an earthly kingdom. If it were, then my followers would fight, and they'd keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. My kingdom is not of this world. Well, of course, you know, that's why Jesus died, because it wasn't like, that's not the fight he was fighting. He goes on and says, you're a king. Well, and Jesus runs, well, you say I'm a king. And actually, I was born and I came into this world to testify the truth. All who love the truth recognize what I say is true. And he continues and says this. What is truth? Pilate asked. He went out again to the people. And he told them, this guy's not guilty of a crime. Yet, in the verses that follow, Jesus still got convicted, sentenced to death, and put on a cross. Jesus said, this is why I am here. My cause is to make something happen. He says, I have a kingdom. I have a way of living that's going to change the entire face of the earth. And Jesus, one man with 12 people, affected the next 2,000 years today in such a way that people's lives have changed. Everybody needs a reason to leave this room and do something for somebody else. Everybody needs a reason to take the gift out the box and use it tomorrow when you go to school, tonight on the way home with your friends, with your family. Jesus says, my cause is my kingdom, is to make sure people know my message, that the truth is out there, that love can be had, and that God is not angry. He is waiting to be next to the people that he loves. You see, it's kind of crazy. There was this guy from England about 200 years ago, back in the 1800s. The guy's name is Dr. Livingston. I don't know if you guys ever heard Dr. Livingston. Okay, a British guy, funny mustache, but nice guy. He loves Jesus, right? But the problem is he loves science, and he's like an outdoorsy kind of guy, and he loves all these other things too. So he decides to give this gift of his curiosity over to God. So what does God do with his curiosity? He says, all right, we're going to go travel. God takes him on a trip on a boat to Africa. And in the 1800s, this man, Dr. Livingston, begins to chart new animals. And he begins to chart new places people had never been before, through the jungles and the forests of Africa, through the deepest parts of Africa that people were scared to go to. And he begins to find these native peoples, and he begins to talk with them. And he spends his entire life fighting off diseases and fighting off dangers and tribal leaders. And in the 1800s, he even gets attacked by a lion. Who gets attacked by a lion? He does. Dr. Livingston, with his fresh mustache and funny hat, goes into Africa to get attacked by a lion because he loves Jesus so much. He wants to use his curiosity to discover new places that God took him on this adventure through Africa. And he became a person that wrote to America and a person that wrote to England and said, look, I know these people. Slavery is an evil thing. And he begins to push forward this movement in these other nations against slavery. He becomes an abolitionist from Africa to the people that were exploiting the slaves in these other nations. And the things that he wrote changed the next 50 years in the way that people approach slavery. All because God took him on an adventure. And in the decades he spent in Africa, do you know how many people got saved? One. I know, right? That was totally anticlimactic. You're like, he got millions. No, you only got one person saved. Barely. Barely. So he left Africa. They finally found him. They couldn't get a hold of him for 6 years. They finally find him. They cart him back to the motherland. And he leaves that one person that got saved, barely. But that one person that got saved translated the Bible into his native language. And he, that one person that got saved, began to spread the gospel throughout Africa. And God took Dr. Livingston on an adventure away from his home to do what no man had ever done before. There's this dude in the 70s, 60s and 70s named Evel Knievel. Y'all ever heard of Evel Knievel? He is the stereotypical guy that wears the American flag costume and jumps over stuff with fire. That's that guy. That's that guy from The Simpsons or whatever. So Evel Knievel lived his life to jump over stuff with a motorcycle. He broke. Well, do you have the picture of him jumping over buses? This is what he did. He's that guy who jumps over buses and cars and people and fire and flames and sharks with lasers on their head. But the problem is that when you do stuff like this, you end up breaking bones. He spent 36 months of his entire life, that's 3 years of his life in the hospital, if you added all the days up that he was in the hospital, all because sometimes there's just too many buses to jump over. Broke no less than 40 bones in his body. 40 bones. Y'all didn't even know he had 40 bones. Can you count 40 bones right now? Yeah, that's a lot of bones. Not counting your toes and fingers, because that's like 20 right there, and that's cheating. But this dude, he crashes time after time again. And then when he's super old, what does he do? He gives his heart to Jesus. And of all those things that he did, all the crashes, all the buses he jumped, all the fire he went through, all the sharks with lasers on their foreheads, he decides to take the biggest adventure of his life and live for Jesus. In the last days of his life, well, he got saved like years before he died. Yeah, that's him. Jacked up. That's why we wear seatbelts. But I don't know if that works with motorcycles. Whatever. Certainly doesn't work with school buses. But anyway, this guy, Evel Knievel, in his 60s, he gets saved. He starts the adventure of his life, living for Jesus. See, all that excitement and adrenaline didn't satisfy like Jesus could. Have a new way, a new reason of living. Whether you're Dr. Livingston or whether you're an Evel Knievel, whether you're just somebody that wants more out of life, this all comes when you begin to chase after the things of God. You see, this is that baby, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Comforter, the Prince of Peace. And he did all that so that you can chase him and catch him. So in every aspect, every part of your life, in your family, in your school, in your friends, in your future, in your good, your bad, your ugly, that you can be there with him. Because it's not about getting stuff. It's not about doing things. It's about being a person that is so in love with God that he's everything that you want, everything that you need. And when you chase him, he takes you places and does things in your life that you never expect. I'm a big believer in the bread and breadcrumb theology, if that makes any sense to anybody. That's the way I live my life. What I do is God tells me to do something, so I do it. And then what happens is when I'm done doing it, I find that God tells me to do something else. So then I do that thing. And then when I'm done doing that thing, God tells me to do something else, so I do that thing. But the problem is I get far from God when I stop doing the thing that he told me to do. Because the next thing that God wants me to do is on the other end of that other thing. And I just follow the breadcrumbs, pick it up until I see another one. And I go and I pick it up and I see another one. That's the way I live my life. And I think if we would do that, we'd find that life has a whole new aspect to it. And right now, you guys are in school, and that's your breadcrumb. First period, second period, third period, your teacher, your friends around you. Do those things, keeping God at the center of them. You'll be surprised where God takes you. You guys got something good out of God? Let's give him praise. Now, that's what God gave us.